1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'll tell you, it's just good to go to church and go to church, amen. And appreciate all the good singing tonight and appreciate the presence of God, and I pray the Lord will take the message for a few moments tonight and be a help to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer, then after we pray, you can be seated. Verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Father, Lord, I ask you tonight, if you would, to help us a few moments around the Word of God. Speak to us, and Lord, give us what we stand in need of tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I want you to notice in this text here that the Apostle Paul, he wastes no time in telling the saints here what their problem is. Paul will deal with multiple problems throughout the book of Corinthians, but early into this chapter, he begins to deal with that of carnality. You'll notice four different times that in the first four verses that Paul emphasizes that the problem with these saints was their carnality. He tells them that in verse number 1, and then twice in verse number 3, and again he mentions it in verse number 4. So he wants them to understand that carnality will hinder things in their life, and it hinders things in the church. Amen. Now, carnality is when a saved person takes on the lifestyle of a lost person. In other words, these crowd was saved, but they were living worldly. They were living like they were lost. Amen. And it's important that we live a spiritual life. Amen. In fact, there's only two different categories for a saved person to be under, and that is the category of being carnal or the category of being spiritual. Amen. And I want to be a spiritual saint, don't you? I don't want to be a carnal saint, and we don't have to be carnal saints here. And Paul emphasizes in this, in verse number 1, in verse number 2, in verse number 3 here, what carnality hinders. I want you to notice here in verse number 1 that he tells us that it does hinder the minister. Amen. I'm talking about when a church is full of carnality. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." So the message had to be brought down. The message had to be dumbed down just a little bit more. And Paul said, "I wanted to speak to you as spiritual, but I could not speak to you as spiritual. Rather, but I had to speak to you because as unto carnal." And so it hinders the minister. It hindered the man of God in this text here. And then it hindered the membership, as Paul said, even as unto babes in Christ. So this church is not growing, but they're staying in the same state that they are in. Now, there was not a more gifted church in all the New Testament than the church at Corinth. Amen? But it is also the most worldliest church. And when you think about it, gifts and talents are no replacement for spirituality. We have to be very careful in this day and time that we're not enamored and we're not impressed by the levels of people's entertainment or the levels of their talent, amen, to the point that we look beyond the spirituality and what the Bible says, amen. I mean, someone may be able to sing like a mockingbird or play an instrument, amen. They may play the wheels off a piano, but if they're not spiritual, then it's going to damper, and God is not going to bless it, amen. And I tell you tonight, we need more than talent. We need a touch, amen. And it's possible to have both, but carnality had hindered the man of God. It had hindered the membership. And then notice in verse number 2, it hindered the message. Paul said this. He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Amen. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. In other words, Paul said, I wanted to give you something stronger. I wanted to give you something that would help you grow. And I think you'll agree with us tonight. Milk will help an infant. Milk will help a baby. It's what a baby needs. It'll help it grow to a certain point, but it reaches a point in life where it's got to have more substance. Amen? It's got to have something that's a little bit stronger. And if it doesn't get that meat, guess what? It's going to dwarf its growth. It's going to, listen, it's going to be malnutrition. And so when you think about that, that's where a lot of people are at spiritually, because they're still on the milk of the word rather than the meat. And Paul said carnality will hinder the message. Amen? And there are just some things that some churches cannot take. Amen? There are just some places you go that you know some people cannot swallow it. Amen? Because they're still on the milk of the word of God. Then Paul said it hinders the ministry. Look at verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Carnality hinders the man of God, the membership, the message, but it hinders the ministry, the church, the work of God. It's important tonight that we don't be a carnal church. Can I get an amen right there? God wants us to be spiritual. We don't need a great choir. We don't need a good choir. We don't need a talented choir. We need a spiritual choir. We don't need a great church, a big church, a good church, but we do need a spiritual church. And a church will never be more spiritual than the leadership and the people that are sitting in the pews. Amen? And so in order to do that, we have to strive for spirituality. And I want to say tonight, carnality is something that we all have to deal with on some level tonight, but I do not want carnality to overtake my life. Amen? And I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject, on how to overcome carnality. Amen? How to overcome carnality. Now, you may be here tonight and say, Brother Gravely, I've been saved for a number of years, and I understand that, but it doesn't matter because God is not working on a seniority plan. Amen? In other words, we don't get more spiritual and we don't get more wiser just because we've been saved for a number of years. We've got to maintain spirituality in our life, and we've got to follow the Word of God to do that, because at any given time, this is how we are tonight. You and I may be spiritual today, but it wouldn't take very long for you and I to slip back into that carnality and to go into a retardation state, amen, simply because we are no longer growing, amen. It's important tonight that we maintain spirituality. And I want to say this, that when it comes to overcoming carnality, we need to understand three things. Number one, we need to understand the seriousness of the problem. Paul's going to address that in verse 3, 4, and 5 here. He's talking about the seriousness of carnality, the problem, carnality. What is the seriousness of it? Well, he tells us, first of all, that it creates a competition. Look what he said, for whereas there is among you envying. You know, whenever carnality comes in our life, then it's easy to look at somebody else and want what they have, or want to be who they are, or want to do what they're doing. Amen? Listen, envy can get in a church as quick as it can anywhere else. And you and I, listen, the spiritual members are usually your low maintenance members. Spiritual members are usually people that come to church and worship, and they just want help from the Word of God. But I'm telling you, listen, when carnality gets in a church, or when it gets inside someone's heart, in life, oftentimes they begin to compare themselves to somebody else, and they begin to compete one with another. I don't want to be in competition with nobody. Amen. I'm telling you, I've got a course to run. You've got a course to run, and we're to run together for the glory and the honor of God. But we're on the same team. We're on the same side. We're to pull in the same direction. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, I don't want to beat you, and I know you don't want to beat me tonight. But I tell you, if we're not careful, if carnality gets into our life, we'll think we're better than some people, and we'll think we're worse than others. Amen. I'm just simply saying that we've got to strive, amen, to keep that spirit of competition out of the church. Can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about, it's a serious problem. It causes envy and then strife. Amen. Carnality causes contention in the church. Now, to keep unity in a church, here's what you have to do. You have to work for unity. It don't just happen. It don't just, listen, there. It don't just, unity don't come in a church just because we're saved. Because we're all fleshly, amen? And so when we hear things and when things come out, we have to be careful that I don't do anything to cause contention in a church. You have to be careful that you don't do anything to cause contention in a church. And I don't want to stir up strife. Amen. In other words, I don't want to turn this person against that person. And I don't want to cause this person to be angry at this person. I don't want to run this church member down to this church member. And I don't want to, listen, do anything to cause any strife in the church, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Amen. And God said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I'm telling you, I want to be unified, don't you? Listen, I'm not talking about kumbaya, but I want to get along with God's people. Amen. I want to live peaceably. Amen. I don't want to hold a grudge. I don't want to be upset. I don't want to be mad. I don't want to ever be at the place where I go to church and I can't speak to somebody and can't shake their hand. I don't want to ever be to the place where, and I'm going to tell you this, if I get to the place where there's something between me and a brother and I can't shake their hand, I'm talking about in my heart, I'm going to make myself go do it. Amen. Not for their sake, but for my own sake. I'm going to go up to them. I'm going to buy. You say, preacher, is that because you're a great Christian? Oh no, it's because I live in a fleshly body, friend, and I'm not giving my flesh one service of an inch for anything to brew or to build or to get up in my heart. Amen. I want to keep the way clear and let nothing between, don't you? I'm talking about keeping unity in the house of God. Amen. I've never understood this. How people say they can be saved, go to church, can't speak to a brother or sister. It's as bad amongst preachers as it is church members. But I've never understood that. You say, what if somebody says something bad about you? Go hug their neck anyway. Amen. Just make sure you put your pocket knife up before you go do it. Amen. Don't put nothing in her back. I mean, be real, be genuine. You say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, you know what? It'll help you if it don't even change them. I'm talking about, friend, the sheer carnality produces contention. Think about people that are carnal. They can't hardly get along with nobody. Is that right? I mean, there's some people, I mean, listen, they're going to find something to gripe about all the time. Because that's who they are. It's not the problem. That's who they are. I mean, listen, they could gripe about this water bottle. Amen. I mean, they can just complain. They murmur and complain about everything else in life. We're just one category of their complaint. Amen. I don't want to live like that. Amen. I don't want to get sour as I get older. I don't want to die in an old age just a grump or a gripe. Amen. I tell you, I want to keep the joy of the Lord, because the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. I want to get up and enjoy the life God has given me. And I want to enjoy what we do for the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about the seriousness when people become carnal. They become cantankerous. And they're easy to be offended. They're easy for strife to take place. And then I notice it also causes conflict. Notice he said divisions. Amen. You know, I don't want divisions. And listen, that's what carnality will do. It will cause division. Now you think about children. You know, when they're on a playground, they get in squabbles and fusses, and they divide, don't they? Same is true in a church. Carnal people are easy to divide. I mean, listen, they'll love you, and they'll have you over for dinner, and then they'll have you for dinner 6 months later. I'm talking about, it's a serious problem. Isn't it a problem in our churches today? How people can't get on, and it's a problem amongst preachers. I think there'll be a lot of preachers at the judgment seat of Christ that are going to be embarrassed about the things that they argued about. When I hear preachers arguing about something, I just blow them off. I'm just being honest with you. And I know somebody probably hear this, but I don't care. I mean, if it makes them mad, I just blow them off. I'm just telling you. I mean, I love them. But I'm telling you, if they want to argue about who this preacher's friends with, and that's schoolyard stuff to me. Amen. I told one man, he was telling something, and I said, hey, don't, and he was coming to preach here. I said, don't you tell my church about that. He said, what do you mean? I said, they don't know anything. I said, they think all Baptist preachers get along. I said, you come to, you, I almost said, I said, you come. I said, don't you tell them nothing. I said, I don't tell them that mess, because people work jobs, they got families, they're trying to raise, they're trying to make it through from week to week. They don't care about the soap opera preacher lifestyle. Am I telling you the truth tonight? They're just trying to keep their head above water and keep their children in the right way. And I'll tell you, do some preachers that quit, listen, get off of a full-time salary and go work a job and get a good taste of reality. They've been out there way too long, amen. I'm telling you, but when you work, amen, listen, even in ministry, when you work, praise God, listen, it keeps all that junk out, amen. I'm talking about carnality causes conflict. It causes cliques. Look what he said here. He said, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another saith, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Listen, Paul was not impressed with people saying, we belong to you. Because Paul realized this. He says it in the next verse. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom he believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. You see, Paul and Apollos, they were the means to salvation, but they were not the means of salvation. That's Jesus Christ. Someone might have been responsible for getting us to the cross and getting us to Calvary, but they're not the means of our salvation, amen? I'm going to tell you, this is all about Him, isn't that right? It's all about Jesus, amen? Jesus first, Jesus above all, a name that is above every name. I'm telling you, people can forget me and people can forget you, but if they remember Him, that's what it's all about anyway, amen? I must decrease and He must increase, amen? Oh, that when we come, we see no man save Jesus. Only, amen. I'm talking about carnality that produces cliques, amen. Now, I understand people have friends and people have close relations in a church, and I am by no means against that, amen. That's what I like the Bible uses, that word fellowship, because it means we pull everybody together and we all come together as one, the body of Christ, amen. And I like to go to church and fellowship, don't you? I like to get around and see everybody and get a fellowship with people, and I'm talking about carnality. We'll keep the cliques out of our life. Spiritual people don't have time for those things. It's a serious problem. Then he talks about the saints' position. Look what Paul says in verse 6. He said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What is our position tonight as saints? We have to understand there's a serious problem when it comes to carnality. But what helps us overcome, and denying carnality will just create more in your life. You have to acknowledge it. Well, I'm these things. Sometimes I cause division. Sometimes I hold a grudge. Sometimes I get mad and won't speak to somebody, won't shake their hand, give them the cold shoulder. Well, that's carnality. Preacher, what I do about that, ask God to forgive you and stop it. It's just that simple. Just stop it. Well, I hadn't spoke to them in a month. We'll start tonight. Now, please don't come up and talk to me. If I hadn't talked to you in a month, I'm going to get worried. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. Why do you want to keep doing something that's dragging you down and causing you to lack spiritually? Just get over it. And then the saints, we have to understand the saints' position. Who are we tonight? Well, who are we as individuals in this church? Who are we in the kingdom of God? Paul said, I'll tell you who we are. Paul said, we are workers. He said, I have planted, Apollos water. We're just workers. Paul said, I put the seed in the ground. Apollos came along and watered, but that's who we are. We're workers, amen. You know what a title means in a church? Absolutely nothing in one sense. But a title in a church is only there to tell us what our responsibilities are. Isn't that right? Now, no, we don't have anybody in the church like this, and I praise God for it. But in some church, you got what I call squatters, amen. I don't know if that's what you call them. It's what I call them, Brother Danny. They'll get a title. They won't do anything with it. And they'll just sit on it for 15 years. You say, what do you do? I'd fire them is what I'd do. Isn't that right? If they can't do the job, let's get somebody who can. Can I get an amen right there? But they'll just hang on to it and won't do it, and it's all falling apart, and somebody's afraid to go up and you know, help them, amen? I mean, you know, help them by saying, listen, you're going to have to do a better job. We're going to have to get somebody else. And I know that went over like a lead balloon, amen? But is that not the truth tonight, amen? Thank God we don't got no squatters in this church, amen? If you're not going to do your job, we're going to find somebody that will. Can we get a witness right there? Because we're workers, and the work of God is important, and there's no room for lazy people in the work of God. And God didn't saved you to sit. He saved you to serve. Isn't that right? I understand some people can't do what others can. Some people not physically able to do what they once did. But I'm telling you, friend, listen, there's a job for every one of us to do. And if God left us here, he didn't leave us here just to live the American dream and to ride this thing out to glory. Amen. He's got something you can do. He's got something I can do. I don't need a title. I don't need a trophy to be a part of the work of God. We're just workers is who we are. And then I want to say tonight, we're worthless. And I wished it got better, but look at verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Oh, there's a lot of people. And I'm sad to make this statement. Again, I'm not down on preachers. But I'm afraid sometimes it's worse amongst our realm than maybe yours. People value themselves too much, don't they? I'm telling you, Jesus was a common person when he came into this world. Our Savior was. And we're all just common people, aren't we? I think it's one of the things I love about this church. We're just common folks. That's who we are. And you know what? We're worthless. Paul, that great Christian Paul, he said, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. You know, God will use a man that'll see himself as nothing. The Bible says that if a man think of himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. I think it's the worst deception of all is self-deception. To think that we're something great when God said, you're nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It's certain we brought nothing into this world, and we're taking nothing out. Paul said, by myself, he said, I know nothing. I mean, listen, we don't have anything. We're not worth anything. Listen, we don't really know anything at the end of the day. We can't do anything. I'm telling you tonight, if anything good happens, Paul makes it clear, not just in one verse, but he makes it clear in two verses. If there's an increase whatsoever, it'll be God that gives the increase. Amen. I'm telling you, if anything comes out of this sermon, it'll have to be God. If anything comes out of a song, it'll have to be God. If anything comes out of a service, it'll have to be God. Amen. It's a thousand wonders God had put any of us and employ us in his kingdom. Amen. It's one thing to be saved by grace, but it's another thing to be a worker and a child of the king. As worthless as we are, yet he still uses us. I'm amazed he even puts up with me. We're worthless tonight. You say, preacher, I didn't come to be told I was worthless. I'm sorry. I didn't say it. Paul said it. But I'm going to agree with it tonight. I'm worthless tonight without him. I heard that old song on the radio this afternoon. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would surely fail. Without him, life would be hopeless, like a ship without a sail. What good's a ship with no sail? It's headed nowheres but under. Amen. I'm telling you, without God, we're headed nowheres but under. And the saint's position is we're workers. And the saint's position is we're worthless. But then thank God it does get better. Look at verse number 8. The saint's position is we're winners. Amen. The Bible said, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward. You notice that reward according to his own labor. Now who would have ever thought that somebody like me and you, listen, that God dug out the muck and the mire of sin, who would ever thought when we get to the other side we'd have anything to gain in glory? Amen. But God said, if you'll work till Jesus comes, if you'll labor, if you'll be a servant, if you'll realize that you can't do anything, God said, number one, I'll help you. Number two, I'll give you another brother that'll be with you. You can be one together. And number three, I'll reward you when you get to the other side. Amen. I'm telling you, we're winners either way. That makes me want to live for God. That makes me want to work for God. That makes me want to keep on keeping on. Amen. Because there is a reward at the end of life's journey. Hallelujah. Say, Brother Gravely, I want to overcome carnality. Understand the seriousness of the problem. Understand the saint's position. And then finally, understand the spiritual purpose. What is our purpose tonight? We know who we are, but what is our purpose? He tells us in verse 9, we are laborers. That's our purpose tonight. For we are laborers together with God. Hey, can I tell you something? Isn't it good to be hooked up with the church? I'm telling you, I thank God tonight. And I mean this sincerely. I thank God for every single member of this church. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your sacrifice. I thank you for just wanting to be a part of the of our church family. I thank God for you tonight. And what a privilege it is to work together. Amen. I like to work together, don't you? I tell you, I don't have anything bad to say about anybody in this church or anything bad to think about anybody in this church. You know, we're not perfect tonight. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But I'm telling you, I'm glad God hooked us all up. Amen. He brought us from all different directions. Isn't that right? All different places. I'm telling you, but I'm glad God put us all together. Amen. Brought Brother Dave and Miss Donna from California. I couldn't believe anybody come out of California to Georgia. And I'm so glad when they joined, because we all know people from California have a lot of money. I told my wife, I said, man, that couple's from California, you know they're rich. They're just hiding it. Took that 6-week vacation. Rich people take months off, you know that. We're together. We were bulletin buddies for a while. You know what I'm saying tonight? Isn't it good to be together? You know what I love about family? Family knows our faults. They know our failures. But they look beyond our fault and love us in spite of ourselves. And I appreciate that about the church. The spiritual purpose is we labor together. You know, I'd rather be laboring with you as anybody else I know. And then we learn, look what he said, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. What's our purpose? It's to labor and it's to learn. We all have to learn, don't we? And we have to learn throughout all of our life. We're to be a student of the Word of God till we draw our last breath. We don't know everything, and I think you understand that tonight, but there's nothing worse than meeting somebody that's got all the answers. I told somebody not too long ago, I said, listen, I said, I'll give you because they asked something, and I didn't really have the answer to their question. I said, I'll pray for you. But I said, I will tell you one thing. I said, be careful about free advice. I said, you know what free advice is? It's when somebody just comes up and says, well, let me give you a little advice right here. You know why it's free, don't you? Because anything free is cheap. Isn't that right? You go to a flea market and they got a stack of socks there and say free socks. I promise you, they don't match. One's a size 5 to 7. They may be stapled together, but when you get them home, I'm telling you, they're two different sizes. You know what I'm saying? That's why they're free. Amen. Free advice is cheap. Nobody wants it. That's why they're giving it out. You understand what I'm saying? I said, be careful about free advice. I'm going to tell you, why don't you think about it? Older, wiser, spiritual people, they don't go around throwing their advice out. Amen? They're not going to give it if you don't ask it. But thank God you can go to some spiritual people and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, could you help me about this? And here's what they'll usually say. A spiritual person will usually say this, well, I don't know if I can help you. I don't know if I got the answer, but I can tell you what God said, or I can tell you something, Brother Laddie, I can tell you something that happened in my life years ago. Hey, that's a spiritual person. They're not going around just, you know, shelling out their, you know, Encyclopedia Britannica knowledge, amen, up to everybody else. But I'm telling you, they're there. And if you need them, thank God they're a well of wisdom if you just ask. Spiritual people say less because they've learned a lot. And then listen, look at verse number 10 again. He said, but let every man take heed how he buildeth. You know, I wished in life you could go back and redo some things, don't you? And I think sometimes you tell people things because maybe you wished you could redo some things. But here's the thing about laying the foundation. He said, we need to take heed how we build. You know, you got one shot to raise those children. Take heed how you build. Listen to people that's older than you. You know, I was talking to, I don't know who I was talking to the other day. We was talking about child rearing. And I want to say this and move on. But you parents, listen to me. There's some kind of, I don't know where this came from, but there's some kind of weird psychological philosophy, however you want to say, I just call it babble, that said to this generation, and I'm sure you've heard this, Well, you know, you don't want to be too hard on your children. You don't want to suppress their personality. You've ever heard that? You know, you want to let them express themselves. Well, I wish they'd have told our parents that. You know, they knew how to get an expression out of you. And they'll say, you know, you don't want to damper their little personality. You don't want to cut, you know, don't be too harsh on them because you don't want to hurt that. I'm going to tell you something, that's garbage tonight. Go ahead and put it down. If you got that, if you got Dr. Spock's book, go ahead and put it down. That preacher said, right beside it, preacher said, that's garbage. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to prove it to you tonight in two ways. Number one, you can't find that anywheres in the book of Proverbs. The Bible says to train up a child. You say, well, I just want them to be who they are. That's philosophy, friend. It's not Bible training. You know what the military is going to do? They're not going to let you be who you are. You're not going to join the military and they're going to say, well, now, we don't want to be too harsh because we want you to express yourself. That's not how you make soldiers. No, they're going to train you. And when you finish, you're going to be a better person than you was when you started. And I'm going to tell you something, parenting is the same way. God gave you those children to train, not to let them express themselves. I see a kid laying in the floor, throwing a tantrum, and their parent and mom standing there just talking to them as casually and kind. And I tell you what you do. You jerk them up and set their fields on fire one good time. They won't do that again. Isn't that right? I hit a stump when I said that, so I'm going to back up and come again. Now here's the proof in the pudding. Look at this generation. And look at decades before that did it God's way. Your children were raised coming up to be seen and not heard. And this crazy generation says, oh, you don't want to do that. Well, look at them. Young men and women at 17, 18, when they got old enough, you know what they had because of their parents? They had character. They knew that whenever, I went from carnality to character now, ain't I? But they knew when their children was, they raised their children that way, and when them children came up, you know what? They didn't hate their parents. They loved their parents. They respected them. And I'm just telling you that when it comes to training a child, listen. Take heed how you build and raise them. Don't you listen to what comes down the pipe on the internet. Don't you listen to, hey, don't listen to The View. Somebody say amen. Don't listen to Oprah Winfrey if she's still out there. Amen. Don't listen to all this. Don't read the internet. Read your Bible. Amen. Don't get some new age book that tells you how to be a better parent. Go to Proverbs and listen, the Bible said if thou beatest him with a rod, he'll not die. It's pretty simple, ain't it? You know what else it says about that? He'll deliver his soul from hell. Amen. Talking about scriptures that teach that, listen, you got one shot to raise your children. Build wisely. When it comes to church, we want to build wisely, don't we? I'm telling you, I thank God for this church, but I don't mean to ride a dead horse or anything like that, but I'm telling you, listen, the day we're living in, you know, the world hates old-fashioned churches. There's so much liberalism and contemporary going on nowadays. You got to draw clear lines in the sand. Is that right? In your church, you say, why? Because we got to take heed how we build. That's why we're not going, and I know you agree with this tonight, but as a church, that's why we agree. We're not going the way some churches are going. They think it's going to draw a crowd. I tell you tonight, we're not looking for a crowded church. We're looking for a spiritual church. We want to win souls, and we want to win sinners. Oh, sure, we want to fill up empty seats, amen. But we don't want to have it just all be goats, amen. We want to have the presence of God when we come. We need Him, isn't that right? And we need spirituality in our. It's amazing what goes on in churches that they're building on today. You say, what do we build on, preacher? The Word of God. Prayer, worship, winning souls. And then finally, the spiritual purpose is to look. Look what he said in verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, any service that leaves Jesus Christ out of it is vain service. And anything that emphasizes something or someone more than Christ is vain. Isn't that right? Brother, I'm telling you tonight, people, They don't need to see us, but they need to see Christ. We need to see. I like that phrase in the Bible when they came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Isn't that a good phrase? That's what we want to see. We need to see Christ, high and holy and lifted up. We need to see Jesus in our life. When the world looks at us tonight, they need to see Christ. They need to see Jesus. When they see our church, I think the greatest compliment that can ever be given to a church is when somebody says, "Now when you go there, you can feel the presence of God." That's a great compliment. And tonight, I'm telling you from my own heart, in my own life, I don't want carnality to rule my life. And I don't want it to overtake me. I want to be spiritual. The Bible said, "You which are spiritual, restore such a one." Somebody's going to be in our life that needs to be restored. And we must be spiritual. That person might be your children. It might be your spouse. It might be another brother. It might be somebody you work with. Lord, help us to walk and to be spiritual as we stand tonight.